from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Live from the Path, coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Justin proper. I'm Ben Foos, the two-minded man. Did it catch on?
You said it was double-minded.
Ah, crap!
That's why it doesn't catch on. You didn't do it right.
Shoot, double. That's what I wanted. That's biblical, being the double-minded man. Anyway, you're listening to Live from the Path. It's good to have you here. Just a couple days before Christmas, if you're checking out the live show, are you guys feeling the holiday spirit?
No.
Dan, you're feeling it?
I live it. I live it every day.
You're a cheese ball.
It never goes away.
Dan the holiday man.
It's that type of behavior that can't be trusted. You know what I'm saying? Hey, here's the deal. So I was working with a guy one time at some kind of church function, right? And he's one of those dudes that's perpetually encouraging, you know? Oh. But we were hanging siding, right? And so I'd say, hey, does this piece look right? He goes, looks great, man. Looks fantastic. Couldn't be any better. I said, okay.
All right, Barnabas.
And so I go ahead and I fire it up, you know, and I tag it to the house. And it's the next one, right? I'm standing on top of a 6-foot perilous ladder it's crooked. I'm like, hey, man, does that look pretty close? He goes, that looks great, man. Yeah, that's all. I said, listen, you can't be trusted. I said, I understand that you're a happy man, but listen, when I'm asking whether it's good or not, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want a pat on the back. I want it to be right, you know? He's like, no, it's perfect. I'm like, Tony, does that look right? No. That's not even close. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, you don't need a grown man to rub you on the behind and call it discernment.
No, man. Is that siding straight or not? I'm going to drive past this thing 2 years from now and go, dang it.
I felt really encouraged when I put that up wrong.
It looks terrible, you know? But he seemed to be offended when I said, you can't be trusted. Like, your constant happiness and general encouragement makes me believe that you can't be trusted if I need some bad news delivered to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you really need that. You need someone who can to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I don't appreciate a good word now and again. But like, if there's something bad that needs to be said, like let's say there's a glaring sin in my life, and you're like, everything looks good from here, you're not helping me out. You know what I'm saying? You're just letting me drown in my own vomit. That's not helping me. Anyway, just be aware.
That sure smells good. I mean, I've seen some smooth vomit. Yeah. Boy, oh boy,
you do that well.
That's just all right. Hey man, I can't listen to people throw up. It gives me the heaves. It's getting worse as I get older. I find two things. One, I can't listen to other people throw up, and I get dizzy way easier. Does that just come with age? That like the older you get?
Yeah, they say it does.
Does it? What? Do you guys not notice
really
that?
I hope not.
I don't even know what situation you've been in that caused dizziness.
I was on a merry-go-round.
Yeah. The music was loud.
I spin around in a field.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I say butterfly, and I spin.
I get kind of angry. I went on the merry-go-round with my kids, and we went around twice. I'm like, that's enough.
Slow it down.
Can't take anymore. I mean, it was way out of character and ridiculous.
You know what I did? I went on the Der Flinger at the Adventureland. The thing that where it lifts you up in the blue, and then it spins you around and around.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah, man, I was nauseous for like 4 hours after that.
Yeah,
I can't take that stuff. I sent my mom on there. You got to go with grandma because dad can't handle it. I can go on the roller coasters, but the I can't do the spinning.
I don't even know why people find that enjoyable. They spin me around so I don't feel right. I mean, why is that entertainment?
I don't know. There's a booze industry that's largely based upon that.
Yeah, that's
hey,
good.
Try
that's
this. It'll make you feel funky. Heck yeah. All right, you're listening live from the Path. Here's what we got on the docket tonight. So, big controversy in the news, talking about the Phil Robertson stuff. Here's my question. My question is, if posed in a similar situation, how do you respond? How do you respond to the same question? Because, like, basically, what he said got him in a bunch of trouble. Would you have said it differently? What would you have said? And a similar situation I was thinking about today is, let's say I just happen to be in a meeting with somebody at work or whatever, and they're like, hey, Ben, what do you think about that? What do you think about that situation? I work in a corporate environment. You know, how do you answer that question? So we're going to talk a little bit through that. Also, I would have to be some sort of insensitive boob came up to John Buva this week and said, how can you still have faith when God killed your parents?
Yeah.
That's rough.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in the big Buva response.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that and see what happens. I got some secular versus Solomon. That's where I give you a proverb, and you tell me whether that is a secular bit of wisdom or a biblical bit of wisdom. And here's the deal. Here's what I thought of, friends. probably June of 2014, I'm going to make that game just a little bit harder.
Ooh.
Because we've gone through a lot of Proverbs, and I should hope that we're catching on to the Lord's word and being discerning about the difference. So in addition to for a secular, I'm going to ask for I want to know the country of origin, if it's a secular proverb. If it is a Solomon, I'm going to ask you for a chapter. Ooh. I want to hear some Proverbs chapters. Hey, you got 6 months, boys. You better start reading it. You got to know where your proverb, what they are, who said it, and where it's at.
I feel like that game is going to lay me bare.
Yeah.
And make me appear as if I don't know the Lord's word. I also have some dear life from the past. There's a couple things going on during the holidays. People are having trouble. People, here's the deal. Sometimes people look out their front door and see life, and they go back in. They just don't. They look outside and they say, "Life's a coming, not today."
No, thank
and
you.
And so hopefully we're going to get through a couple barriers for them. The answer is probably Jesus. In fact, it's most likely Jesus, and so we're going to try to answer from that point of view. But we're going to see what life's looking like, what the situation that's keeping them inside, and see if we can't get that door open and get the snow boots on and get them out in the driveway.
All right, that sounds good. Just real quick, I want to make sure that you know that Live from the Path is brought to you by the Eisenlauer team. Bob Eisenlauer, you've seen him on the show. He's the hugger. Bob the hugger.
Yeah.
He's not really a hugger, but we're passing that around.
Yeah, some people have labeled him as
Big Bob,
hugger.
Boston Bob.
Boston Bob. Boston Bob. What did I try to call him last time he was in here?
The Big Easy.
The Big Easy.
Big Easy. Yeah. Anyway, Bob's a great guy. He's been on the show a few times, and he's an excellent realtor, along with the rest of his family who help him out in the real estate business. So get a hold of Bob. Go to the EisenlauerTeam.com. Give him a call if you're looking to buy a house, looking to sell a house. Look, he's just going to deal with you straight, right? He's going to give you a good price to get your house sold. He's going to tell you what to offer to pick up the house you want, or if the one that you want just costs plain too much. But just Bob will deal with you straight. And, you know, we've used him with some real estate stuff, and he's just been awesome. And so go check him out. Yeah, at nothing else, just say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Life from the Path. By the way, I want to buy a house. That's what Bob's there for. All right, so here's the deal. So this week, this past couple weeks, was it been a week? Has it been a week? It seems like forever.
I feel like it's been a week.
All right,
it's
so about a week. So anyway, you know, most of you are going to be familiar with the situation. You know, Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty show was interviewed in GQ magazine, and of course they asked him about you know, what do you think sin is, and they got him talking about homosexuality, which is his response was consistent with the Bible and not really consistent with the worldview of a lot of folks that were on the backlash of it. And so I think that's kind of been talked through. There's everybody's got you know, what side they want to fall on, and what about individual things he said get him riled up. But I think my question is that's a question you're going to have to face. If you love Jesus and you believe the Bible is the Word of God, at some point, if it hasn't been this week, it's going to be next week, it's going to be within the next year or 2 years, you are going to have to answer that question in what is a potentially volatile situation. Now, your podium is not his podium, right? He gets interviewed. He's touching, you know, millions of people that read GQ magazine or are upset about whatever's in GQ magazine. Maybe your audience is your coworkers. Maybe your audience is your family, your extended family. Maybe your audience is friends. It's a high school reunion, something, right? It's going to come up. Hey, I love Jesus. Hey, what do you think of this? What would you call sin? So I guess what I'm asking, and I don't care which one you answer, right? If you want to answer the basic proposition that he got in the magazine, you know, what is sin to you, fine. Or if you want to say, like, if someone were to come up to you in one of those situations that I talked about, which I think is pretty realistic, how would you respond to that in a way that you think, I don't know, moves the needle and represents truth?
You know, it's kind of, sometimes it's a little bit easier to be Phil Robertson. And I only say that because, like, the reactions he's getting are mostly from faceless, you know, nameless people, right? Like, and sometimes that's true with this show as well, right? Like, I can spout off at the mouth for 15 minutes about and be completely wrong, offend 15 people, and really never know about it. Or if I offend a guy, then he writes in, and I'm like, okay, sorry, you know. But, like, when you have to look, say, your coworkers in the eye and say something, and then be there the next day and the day after that, and possibly forever change the interactions that you've had with them, it feels a little bit heavier in the way that you answer. But the truth of the matter is you shouldn't answer any differently. So I actually had this come up this week after this Phil Robertson deal. Some guy called. He called me while I was sitting there at work, and he's like, "What do you think about that thing?"
Wait, he called you on the phone?
Yeah, yeah. He goes, "Hey, I saw this thing this morning. What do you think about that?" I'm like, "Well, here's what I think about it." I said, you know, And actually, I've had multiple conversations with a lot of people at work about numerous things. And actually, we've hashed the homosexuality thing and sin in general, things that separate you from God. We've talked about it all, right? And so I said, what do you expect from a guy that claims to live his life by the Bible? And they go, well, do you feel the same way? I said, it really doesn't matter. I said, I do, but God feels that way. And so whether I agree with it or not, I best be saying yeah. I mean, I happen to do agree with that because that's what the Lord says. But and they said, well, that seems, it seems ridiculously unfair. Or, do you think he could have said it any better? I said, is there a good way to say you are separating yourself from God? Is there a good way? Does anyone take that well? Nobody does, right? Like, here's a behavior that you're doing that's to your own detriment that you thought was just fine. No one likes to hear that. That's why they have interventions, right? Because the casual, hey, man, I think that drinking's kind of cutting you down. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to get 10 guys and get them in a room and sit them down and barricade them in. If the casual observation on your life that was taking you down would do any good and pride would be just set aside, we didn't have to have these issues, And so, like, I've had those conversations. They've gone okay. There's still folks that disagree with me, which just basically means they disagree with the Bible, and there's nothing I can do about that. But I do feel the responsibility to accurately portray Scripture. And sometimes I throw my own inflection in there, and sometimes that's a mistake. And so there's times where I wish that I'd shut up and not said as much as I did. But I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing your struggles either, with saying, look, I had a hard time with this one. I still struggle with this one. I understand the people behind it. I understand there's actual humans. I understand your version of what you feel is love, and I understand that it seems grossly unfair. But there's a lot of people that do a lot of things that damage others that really bring them joy. and you don't support that. And so that conversation gets hard very quickly. But, I've had this conversation already this week. I've had this conversation at work about what God characterizes as sin. And sometimes it's changed some relationships, but frankly, none for the worse. It ends up being a good point of reference for when people have questions about God or something that they've seen in the news or situation that comes up, like, hey, how could you still have a faith when God killed your parents, right? They're going to ask you, is that a bad place to be? No, that's a perfect place for you to be, to be able to, talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody that most normally it wouldn't come up while you were ordering parts,
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be pretty, it's cool that they came and asked you, right? You see something's like, where's the Jesus man? I'm going to ask him.
Let's see if this is straight or not. Does this sound right?
Yeah, yeah. Booba, you run into that this week?
Not specifically this week, but I've run into this kind of conversation before where people would come up to me, and a lot of my friends know that I have a faith with and a relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of that, they'll come to me with morality issues. And they're like, hey, man, as somebody who believes in God and reads the Bible, where's your stance on this? And I actually have, specifically on the aspect of homosexuality, I have a couple friends that I've known for years that they, before I met them, my meeting with them wasn't, hey, how you doing? I'm gay. And so I had no idea at that point in time, but through a relationship and starting to know them, it had come out in that point in time. And then they were in a relationship together, and they came to me and asked me about it. And they said, from a God standpoint, I know your dad was an executive pastor, and I know that you have been in the church for years. Where is God on this? And it's a really difficult conversation to have with some people, because they're coming from a standpoint of, I'm going to fight you on this entire conversation. No conversation is going to go very well with that starting out. But I think I agree with Mike entirely. You have to make sure that you're representing the heart of God correctly, because that is something that is so easily swayed into a conversation of your morality versus their morality, rather than the God of the universe giving us scripture on what actually his heart is on it versus their thoughts on it. And with any kind of sin, it's difficult to point out in people's lives if they don't have the relationship with Christ, because the fact that if they don't believe in God and they don't believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, a lot of times they're not going to follow what you're trying to say, because there's no point in it. We've had this conversation on many occasions where people don't care about what is sin and what is not sin if they don't have the relationship, because they're not disappointing anyone. They're not going against a God because they don't believe in the God. But so I had to step back and say, first off, I want you to know that no matter what happens in this conversation, I love you. I truly do. I consider you a great friend of mine, and that's not going to change. And I hope it doesn't change for you either. But I don't think you're going to like my answer. And they both kind of laughed and looked at me, and I'm like, so here's the deal. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. No matter what you've done, he loves you. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows all your sin. But still, he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And you have the opportunity to eliminate that sin because of that. But here's the deal. It's very clear cut that God does not like you, or in any way, frankly, hates the sin that you're in. And homosexuality is a sin. No matter how you feel about it, no matter how in love with each other you think you are or anything like that, you are openly in rebellion against the God of the universe because you have this sin in your life and you are not changing it whatsoever, and you have no plans to change it. There's no repentance. There's no accountability on it. You are openly in sin. And they both kind of looked at me and were just straight-faced, and I said, I'm sorry. I hate to be the one who tells you that, but that's the situation. And I said, and that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And it's not anything like any sign you've probably ever seen where God hates you. That's so wrong, and that could not ever be right. And I'm not saying this from a standpoint. He hates the sin that you have in your life, but he loves you as a child of his. And he wants you to get away from the sin that you're in. And I said, and I know that's difficult to hear for anybody. It's not just you. It's everybody. It's me too. But that's where it's at. And they both kind of looked at me and said, thank you. I appreciate that. And I said, yeah, no problem. I don't know how to take a thank you for telling me that God hates my sin. But
yeah, that's what I said to the guy that told me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I think that's I think that's where we get such a bad rap on Christians in general, and not just with that particular sin, but all sin, is people generally fail to mention that they're mired in the same thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People generally don't say, you say God is against your sin. God's against all sin.
Right.
And
right.
Whichever one I choose to participate in or you choose to participate in does not matter. And so, you know, the fact that that gets brought up, and actually that situation with Phil Robertson, he brought that up. Maybe not as clear cut as maybe some folks would have liked, and he picked out a particular sin that he is not involved in or has not been involved in. But I think that's, you know, the people are going to, it's a prideful stance. You know what I'm saying? Like, how dare you point out my sin? That's all it is a prideful stance. And so it makes it's always hard to hear. People always get riled up. And frankly, there's just not that many of them.
Yeah, you've got to really take the emotion out of it. And I think that's what gets people going. It's you react one of two ways. Either you have the warm fuzzies and you say, oh, well, they're just wonderful, you know, people, you know, whatever, I just feel for them. Can't they all love each other? Or the reverse emotion that says, ew, you know, it's just gross or whatever. Take the whole thing out of it. It's really about sin. And like you say, they're trying to say, well, I'm without sin. It's like, well, who do you think you are? I mean, I am with sin. You know, I don't care if my sin's different than your sin. We're in the same boat. Sin is death. Simple. Whether it's gossip or looking at dirty pictures or being a homosexual, I mean, it doesn't matter. Sin is death.
That's actually a fairly good point. Is people think that like that sin is not the same as the sin that I want to participate in. They're all the same, right? Yeah. Like, there's people that want to be in a relationship with someone of the same gender, and there's another guy that loves alcohol the exact same amount.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is willing to throw his entire life away to continue that sin.
Yeah,
right. And you look at both sins and see that they're different, and you say that's exactly. Not the same, and there's feelings either way. We're talking about the exact same thing with just different players, right? Mm-hmm. And people like to put it in a different category, like it's something completely bigger. And Jesus loves everybody, and there's no reason to ever stop the love or the feeling of love, whether it's for another man, another woman, or whatever. But as soon as that becomes for a computer screen or a magazine or an inanimate object for like alcohol or a feeling or a high or an adrenaline rush, right, then it's okay to judge, right? The feeling of love can't be trusted unless it's with another person. And people in general, I find to be less trustworthy, right? Like a chair, I can usually trust it to be where I left it and then sit on it and it does its job, right? people I can't trust. Hey, you gonna be there at 7? He gets there at 7:15. Can't be trusted, right? And so I do find it a little bit odd. Like a lot of more like liberal sects of Christianity will say, hey, listen, you know, let's just follow the teachings of Jesus and love everybody. Yeah, love them by telling them the truth about what the Bible says, and then don't take a certain sector of sin that like you really like to see love. And I agree, there's something very heartwarming about people in love, right? Like, because that's the heart of God. God is love, right? And so there's no darkness in him. And so there's something very, I don't know, it just feels right about love, right? Except for when it's an unhealthy love and it's not love directed where God has designed it to be directed, and you like to make a distinction between whether it's two fellas or this guy in porn. And you're like, the guy in porn is definitely wrong. But yeah. He loves it exactly the same.
You know what's weird too is like what I think a lot of, from a Christian perspective, what we miss in the conversation is there's people that like to elevate that because like, that guy's an open rebellion against God. It's like, well, you're in closed rebellion against God. I feel like that's really not that much of a distinction. Like,
oh, true.
Like you just recognize the fence. Like, that's really the difference is like a guy that's in open rebellion against God doesn't recognize the arms of Jesus that surround you that make you in closed rebellion. I feel very fortunate to have noticed that in my life and recognize that in the things that I do and where those parameters sit. And sometimes we like to point that finger, like the finger needs to sit heavier because of open rebellion. But really, like, I don't know, meet another hand with it and pray for the guy that doesn't realize that the arms of Jesus can close that in. Like, that's really the distinction. We waste a lot of energy with the finger out. And, I mean, it's not that you shouldn't be looking around for folks that could use the love of Jesus and telling them about it. But, like, what good did that finger do? What did it do? Like, feel the sin that you don't believe in heavier. Yeah, ineffective. That's not going to do any good. And I think we're in a rough spot today because it's been handled wrong. It's been handled wrong by quite a few folks. Frankly, the message is offensive if you don't believe it. That's just going to be the case, right? Yeah. But I think it is certainly true that in general, I think if not even majority of Christianity has not handled that well when it comes to the sin that we don't do.
Well, actually,
it's the sin that we feel like we're so far from that we're comfortable with the finger out.
Yeah. Me and Boova were talking about this a little bit earlier this week. Is like, that's, I mean, to my dismay, it's ingrained in me, right? Like, I grew up going to church. I left for a while and came back. And like, I still hold homosexuality as a different sin than all the other ones, even though I logically know that's not true and biblically know that that's not true. Right, like, but I still hold it in a different regard, merely because of the culture that I grew up in. Like, it's a different brand of sin, it's a different brand of rebellion, and biblically, it's put out the same. Did you notice the list? When Phil Robertson was talking, he cited from was it Corinthians 5 or
6:9?
Yeah, 6. Okay, so like, there's a huge list in there, right? Sexual immorality, idolaters, right? That takes everybody off the list there. Anybody who's read the article, as soon as he says idolaters, you're gone. Right? Worshipper of money, worshipper of comfort, worshipper of sex, worship of whatever, right? It's the same list, right? Those are the things that are listed in that Bible verse. They're all listed together. And so there's not anybody that gets excluded from that. And so I find it odd because you didn't get an idolaters union calling up and asking for his cancellation, you know?
Yeah.
People that were so set in their idolatry that they weren't, that they're like, get him out. How dare you
people
point out
for ethical business. Treatment against idolaters.
Yeah. But, I mean, but on the other hand, I you know, it's, because I saw some posts for some fellows on Facebook. They're like, I'm friends with them, and they sit probably more liberal than I do as far as you know, Christian views. And I think there's a lot of grace for that stuff. A lot of it's open handed, not that big of a deal. And like, you know, they took it a little bit too far on the amount that they were you know, saying is acceptable. But boy, they have a lot more love in that situation than I see a lot of the church have. You know, I think they love to the point where truth leaves, and that's not going to work. You know, but like, I don't know. Like, I almost wish that I had a different ingrained part of my mind that didn't make this such a hot button issue, that I could literally just skip past it and look at it as a regular liar or a regular adulterer and just be done, right? But like, I feel like I'm ingrained the other way, and I wish that I was not.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking today, because I mean it's like I said, I work in a corporate environment, so right, I don't know, the people tend to stay away from that because they know it tends to cause trouble. But I was thinking, you know, someone said, hey, Ben, check this out. You know, you've been hearing about things. What do you think? And I thought, well, what do I think? And I think here's what I think. I think
the people largely hear what they want to hear. It doesn't matter the situation. People will hear what they want to hear. The people that believe the Bible is God's word, they hear what he says, and they're like, yeah, someone's saying what's God's word. Because that's what you do when God's word is said. You're like, yeah, I enjoy when God's word is said. I agree with that. And I think that people who don't believe that the Bible is God's word and don't give it any weight and are impacted by that, they see a hateful man. And they see someone that disagrees with who they are and what they do, and that's offensive. If someone were to say, hey, the very nature, the thing that you provide some identity to you, I think is wrong. I mean, it's just plain offensive. And so, you know, folks who hear God's word, you know, maybe I skim over some of the ways and how it was said, you know, because I get the core. I come from that. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Makes sense. On the other side of that, people that hear that is saying that they don't approve of their lifestyle, they don't hear anything else he says but that, right? They don't hear, it's the Almighty's to judge. We love everybody. They give the weight and the pressure and the agency to the thing that was offensive, and they let the rest go. Because the thing is if you do that, if you take the whole thing that he said, that's a lot more complicated to deal with. It's a lot more difficult to deal with the entirety of that scripture. It's a lot more complicated to deal with, I don't agree with this, God says this is wrong, and I still love you. And like, you have to start cutting some stuff, because you can't have a reaction like that. You don't get to get outraged if you have to deal. It takes a lot to deal with that that whole statement. But we don't live in a culture that does that. We live in a culture that deals in two sentences. We live in a culture that deals in sound bites. We live in a culture in whatever, how many characters I can get onto Twitter, right? That's the culture we live in. And so we have to start chucking stuff and putting people in buckets and boxes. And that's what's happened with the scripture as a whole. I was so embarrassed by how many people do not know the Bible. Seriously, don't quote. If you don't know it, just don't quote it. And a lot of them were trying, they're on the other side of this thing. They're on the, what he said was offensive and nasty, and you're supposed to love people. I'm like, how are you quoting books that you never read? I don't go around saying, and it was a wonderful summer's night, and everyone should enjoy summer's night, quoth Anne of Green Gables. Because I have never read Anne of Green Gables. I don't know what's in it. I have no authority to speak on its behalf. I don't understand the... where this why people are not more ashamed of themselves if by just saying random things and said, well, the Bible says this, and say, I'm sorry, no, it doesn't.
Actually, yeah, well, it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, what really got me on this whole debate is listening to some of the, you know, people on TV debating, talking about the whole issue. And someone would say, well, I'm a Catholic. And the guy would say, well, you understand your Catholic teaching is also against this. You know, the Catholic Church is against sexual immorality,
yeah,
whether it be with, you know, anything outside of marriage. And the person's like, well, I don't agree with that. Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, well, then you're not a Catholic. I mean, you know, they define what a Catholic is. You don't. I can't just show up and say, you know, I've decided to redefine what a Catholic is or what a Christian is or what a...
Yeah, that's,
you know,
like saying I play for the Cardinals. Well, you're not on the roster. Yeah, I do, though.
Yeah, I just disagree with what
you're
saying.
I identify myself as a Cardinal.
Yeah, so. It's like if you don't agree with something, then you are not that, you know. I do not agree with the Book of Mormon. I am not a Mormon. You know, no matter how much I want to be, which I don't want to be, but you know what I'm saying is, because I disagree with the book.
If they just changed their ways, I could be a Mormon.
Name
be
the
a
book, Mormon. Whatever the book is, but that comes to mind. That because I don't agree with some of the things in it, I am therefore not a Mormon. I can't be because I don't agree with it. You know, they can't be Catholic or
listen,
Christian or whatever.
Isn't that confusing though? Because do you know how many people identify themselves as Christian and outside of the Christian worldview, they don't know what a Christian is, right?
Have no idea.
They have no clue what defines, because there's some, as far as they can see as a whole, there's some section of Christianity that's like, well, they say it's acceptable and you guys don't. You guys are obviously staunch rule followers and I don't want anything to do with you.
We just actually read the book.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I mean, that's why it's almost always better to let scripture do the talking.
Yeah.
And then you try to stay out of it.
Well, that's the thing though. I say, what do you think? And I think you'd alluded to that earlier. It's like, well, it's really not, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. Let's talk about what the issue is. What does God's word say? I follow God's word. Whatever it says, I'm with it, you know.
Yeah.
And my opinion is really irrelevant here.
Well, you know, and actually that's a very common misconception that as soon as as you allow Christ to run in your life, you're going to love everything in that Bible. No. No, you're going to read things and be like, why did you have to say that? I was fine without knowing that. I was fine without feeling convicted of that. I was fine without even recognizing that as a problem in my life. Why? You know, like, there should be, if you're truly seeking God's heart when you read that Bible, you should be angry every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, really? You got to have that much? You want more?
Yeah.
You know, I've given what I can, and you want to take more? You should be struggling with that, because if you're not, it doesn't mean that much to you. You're willing to push it aside and say, well, I'll do the best that I can, and I'll shovel this other stuff away. But, like, if you truly want to get what the joy that Christ is offering, and actually the freedom that you don't even know how free you can be because you're currently bound up, right? And so, like, the freedom and the joy that God is promising with taking the punishment of what's coming to you, you got to let him have it all, right? And, like, I still read the Bible and say, dang it.
Yeah.
Disagree, right? Well, too far.
And you know what? Jesus is not your Lord if you're calling the shots.
Right.
And that's the deal. People want to call the shots, and it's like, it doesn't work that way. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me, and if you don't, guess what? You're not in.
We were talking about that earlier this week, where there, or maybe it was last week. There, I don't understand these very wimpy gods that people are worshiping.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, hey, here's a god that I worship. I agree with him on most things, but he's just wrong on a few. I'm like, well, I feel like that's the worst god ever. Like,
you've backed the wrong horse, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's either not a god at all, or you're an idiot.
Yeah,
because I don't know how you look and say, well, this guy, I mean, this God created the universe. He knows everything. He created me, but he's just dead wrong on this thing.
It's like looking at the alphabet and saying, I disagree with the placement of G and L.
Yeah.
Everything else I'll obey.
Everything else is great.
But these two letters, not relevant.
And I guess that's where I don't understand is I don't understand why people aren't bailing. Like, I don't get this compromise.
Just get out.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't believe.
I'm Catholic, but I don't believe the stuff in the Catholic Church. Well, you're right. You're not Catholic. You don't believe in God at all. Like, why believe in a pansy God? Like, that seems very weak to me. It seems very weak to me to say, of the God that I know, I think he's wrong, but I'm still going to kind of hang in there because, I don't know. Like, what are you going to spend a time with the wrong God?
I like fellowship with other people who half hang in. I like to hang around other people that are kind of
half. It doesn't make any sense. But I think the broad conversation is very disappointing because it's very surface. Everything is way more complicated, right?
Yeah.
Behind the statements that he made is a full Bible to digest, is a God's love that backs the reason as to why there's a fence in his hug, right? Behind the person that is living a lifestyle that is offended by that statement is a desire to love, is a desire to understand themselves, to have some sort of identity that brings value to their life. They are not just the sin, just like you're not just the sin, right? And like, we are having very shallow conversations. And the thing is like, in that arena, it's very difficult not to do anything else. It's very difficult to say anything. And that's why where the question came from is like, you know, for just a passing thing at work, someone said, hey, man, what do you think of that? I'm like, I most certainly don't want to have this conversation. This doesn't move the needle. This doesn't talk about the depths of who you are and what your life looks like and what God actually means to anything. You want me to slap you with a rule book so that you can put me in a bucket and then put God in the bucket because of it. And that's not cool. And I think ultimately where I ended up is that I could probably get out what needed to be said with the appropriate context in about 5 minutes.
You know, that's the thing. There's wisdom in that, though. There's wisdom in not throwing up is not putting out your fencing gear and getting out every time someone throws a challenge at you. You know what I'm saying? If every time says, look, we need to talk about the biblical stance on homosexuality. Friend, that's not a two-minute conversation. I'll take you out to lunch, or we'll stop by your place. Or
we'll sit down and have a Bible study and see what the book actually says.
We'll do this later. But, like, you know, like there's wisdom in backing down from that and not, even if they say, well, you know, you just don't know.
And that's the thing, is this indignation on both sides is completely uncalled for. First of all, the indignation about what he said is like, are you serious? You had no idea? You had no clue what the biblical stance was on homosexuality? Like, I can't imagine. And now you might not agree with it, but this, I can't believe
he said it out loud.
Yeah.
What?
Like,
the Bible's the number one selling book ever.
It's said out loud.
It's not new.
In like church buildings all across the world.
Yeah.
Right? The three, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all think the same way, all documented same thoughts about that particular thing. Right? The righteous indignation has no place in the conversation. Right? You cannot act surprised. On the other side, where is it? Why are we surprised at the persecution? That's clearly, you can't be like, well, I read this firm and I know that this is a sin, but I had no idea we were in for persecution. Really? Really, this is new to you?
If it even counts as persecution.
Yeah, yeah, see, that's... Yeah. Well, the guy lost his job.
He's a millionaire.
Well, I know, and I'm saying he needs it. I'm just saying
that is
persecution defined.
It's poor business practice on their part.
Oh, yeah, they were idiots.
Here's the thing that like grabs me, right? It's like most of my social media was filled with Christians going, I'm tired of people persecuting the Christians. We're always being persecuted. I'm like, listen, fellas, we make up way more of the population than you think. If you weren't such a yellow-bellied coward, there's literally 2% of the population that's coming after you.
Yeah.
2%. And you're like, people are always coming down on Christians. But it's just not. You've bought into the lie. You've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. I agree we are not the sovereign nation that everyone thought we would be when this nation was founded. I agree that our values are not completely placed on the Bible and what Jesus Christ did for us. I agree with we are declining in our effort to live a godly lifestyle. But there's way more faith in God than the media would like you to think, right? Like every poll you see, when everyone's willing to come to the table and say, the media, they always report this, and they're this culture, and they're always dragging us down the wrong path, right? But as soon as they come out with a study that says less Americans are believing in God, they're like, they're right on. Obviously, they did their research, and they have no jaded point of view. They're dead nuts, right? Like, it's not the truth. Every other story you hear from them, you're willing to call a conspiracy. But whenever they say that there's no Christians in this nation anymore, you're like, heck yeah, that's right on. Yeah. I don't believe that's the truth at all. I do not believe that's
the truth. Well, and in a persecution description, 60 people were slaughtered in Syria this week.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up slaughtered for their belief. Women, children, people, because they loved Jesus, straight up killed. Agreed. Persecution, the broad persecution umbrella covers getting fired from your job, but I mean, gain a little perspective. Even when James is talking about persecution, he's not talking about like we're being inconvenienced, right? I mean, he's talking about physical persecution, like people fleeing from other people coming after them with weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and like I get it. I'm not saying it's not right. I'm not saying it's not worth discussing. I'm not saying that it's not a valid thing to air, and I'm not saying that they reacted appropriately. But what I'm saying is like, I mean, have a little perspective. With probably, I guess the thing that riles me up a little bit about that is how much effort people really spend into this conversation. When there are a lot of very important conversations that don't get had because we're busy, we have other things to do, we have other things we're concerned about. I have this show on, you know. I gotta go. We gotta make it to soccer practice. I'm late for this, right? And we don't have those conversations because everything takes precedence. But this will light the fire on your toes.
Yeah, I'll stay up till 1:30 if I gotta.
And I'm not saying it doesn't deserve attention, but what I'm saying is like we let a lot of stuff go for this to be the thing where like we boil up with anger.
That's true.
You know, you know what would be interesting? I would be very interested to find out how many people were willing to be as vocal about, say, the preservation of life. You know what I'm saying? That will ruin a dinner.
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the chances of you being at the dinner table and there being a gay guy sitting there are way slimmer than someone who's impacted by your position on the sanctity of life.
True.
And the thing is like the sanctity of life folks tend to look a little wacko because they're singing in a very small chorus because we got other stuff to do. We got other stuff we're worried about until something happens where we feel like it's safe to be indignant. It's never safe to be indignant on the sanctity of life. That's always going to cause you a problem because that's a bigger finger.
No.
That's a bigger finger. It's a heavier moral consequence. You know what I'm saying? And we're largely not indignant there, and we should be.
I was actually convicted a little bit because like I have quite a few world missionaries, people who are like, I mean, we're talking knuckles to the ground, feet to the grindstone, working for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. They didn't make one comment about it. They don't give a rip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just don't care. They're like, I still got hungry people in Persia. I still got a million people that are being in the sex trade. I still got orphans that are living in terrible conditions. Who cares? Who really cares? Right? They didn't say it. They weren't indignant about it. But like, they will post every day about a need or a prayer or things that are or where God's moving and things that are going on. This subject,
they don't care about that.
They got no time for that. I'm like, I wish I had no time for that. I wish I was so busy doing God's word, I didn't give two rips about this conversation. And I'm like, I was really convicted by that. I was like, I've got to get out of fooling around in these comments. Like, it's just the worst place for you to live. It's a swill of sin in there, right? On yeah. both sides. There's Christians throwing swill. It's oh, like, yeah. just yeah. bail. Bail on it. Mike, stop reading that. But they found a new... He said something. What? What did he say?
Well, yeah. I really, well, I better hear it.
Yeah. Oh, what? No. The Pope has a say on it. Let's the Pope say.
Yeah, yeah, really. You know, you spend your time looking to see what people think who have nothing else to do but sit there during the day and type up things that other people will look at and say, what does he think?
Yeah.
Like, you're right. It's like a... It's a labyrinth.
It is.
You'll never get out of that, George.
It would help... It'd be helpful to you if you were like, Apostle Paul, what do you think of this? I don't give a crap. Okay. If that's the way Apostle Paul would answer, get moving. You don't belong in there. Stay out of that business. Anyway, yeah, that was a... It was a heavy deal.
For America's fastest growing game show. Secular or Solomon?
You've landed in America's fastest-growing internet game show, Unproven Secular versus Solomon. Here I will give you a proverb, and you need to tell me whether that has a secular origin, a worldly, or whether it comes from the Bible, namely Solomon. We got 10 up. You guys ready to rumble?
I'm ready.
I'm always buddy. Ready.
All right, here we go.
Do this.
Number one, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Secular or Solomon? John Bova.
Solomon.
Mike Foost.
I'm also going with Solomon, Ben.
Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon.
Ooh, we said the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We said Solomon. That is correct. Proverbs 10:11.
I don't understand that one. Conceals violence. I'm going to violence you. That's pretty outright, isn't it?
Mouth of righteousness, a fountain of life. Life flows forth from the righteous. Okay. Mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I don't know. Harbors?
Hey, man, I'm not going to violence you. Just kidding. Violence.
I think it means it harbors violence. It hides it and then otherwise produces it.
No, that's true. Puts on an air. Puts on a shine. Like, yeah. Hey, we're buddies when we're really not. Yeah. I've hate in my heart. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on.
All right, here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Secular or Solomon? John Bova.
I'm going to go secular. Irish.
I can hear you scratching your leg. That means you're overdoing it.
And your leg is too scratchy.
You need to get an eczema cream and then take it easy.
Whoa, bro.
Whoa, don't tase me.
don't tase me, bro.
I feel like my answer stands. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Wait, was it secular what?
Secular Irish.
Irish, Mike.
Solomon.
Solomon, Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon as well.
With the double up on Solomon, John Bova stands out on a limb, and it is cold and lonely out there. That's Solomon. Proverbs 19:2. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste scratching his leg misses his way.
I was paying too much attention to the leg scratch, and I meant Solomon.
All right, secular or Solomon, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Secular or Solomon, John Bova.
Solomon.
Solomon, Mike.
Secular.
Secular country.
Belize.
The Belizeans are
please
very good.
Please Belize me.
Dan Hudson.
I think they're very good about that in India, so I'm going to go secular.
All right. This time, John Bova stands out on the limb.
Man.
And he is fierce, bold, and right. Proverbs 25:21.
That was too simple.
If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Mike and Dan, send him to another country away from the Lord.
They have food lines over there.
I'm very religious.
Nice.
Don't bring your sin up in here.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Secular or Solomon, John Bova.
Solomon.
Solomon, Mike.
Well, I feel like these are all Solomon. Solomon.
Solomon, Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say it's an Israeli proverb that's not from Solomon.
Ooh,
a triple twist.
Whoa. A shanty Hasidic. do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Solomon, Proverbs 27:1.
That's kind of a standard one.
27:1.
Yeah, I mean, it's widely accepted many people.
Yeah, I always do that, actually. That Israel thing, that's just a funny.
I threw that in to make you guys just feel good.
They put that in their fortune cakes.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon, the mouth of the... No. Here we go. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go secular Chinese.
Chinaman, Mike Foost.
Solomon, Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes, Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon.
So, are you going with a carrot
Dave Ramsey
that says Ecclesiastes? All right, Dave Ramsey via Solomon, Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Chinaman, no little by littles. Proverbs 13:11. Shame upon your house, Proverbs 2.
Quote the Proverbs.
Secular or Solomon, what may be done at any time will be done at no time. What may be done at any time will be done at no time. Secular or Solomon. John Buga.
Secular. Bolivia.
Bolivia. Mike Foos.
That's definitely secular. And Croatia.
Dan Hudson.
I'm jumping on the secular bandwagon with Cyprus.
Cyprus. what may be done at any time will be done at no time. Secular. Scottish.
Oh. Scottish. That's your area of the world, Buva.
Yeah.
Why is that my area?
Because they have itchy legs and wear kilts very, very much like yourself.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. When have you ever seen me in a kilt?
Yeah, I hope I don't. That's all I'm saying.
I have someone photoshopped a dress on you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Secular Solomon. One beggar at the door is enough.
I'm going to go secular. Irish. Again.
Irish, Mike.
Solomon.
Dan. That is secular, and I'm going to go Greece.
One beggar at the door is enough. Also known as the Liberian sitcom, French.
French.
French. Secular or Solomon, I give you a bit of wisdom. You tell me whether it is of the world or of the Bible. That's a secular or a Solomon. Here we go. The tallest blade of grass is the first to be cut by the scythe. The tallest blade of grass is the first to be cut by the scythe. Secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go secular. Scythe. Norwegian.
Yeah, they don't have grass in the Bible, Ben.
Scythe.
I'm going to say secular and scythe. Canada.
Scythe. Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know why I laughed at their wisdom.
Whoa. I love you, Canada.
Canadian wisdom.
Elect another mayor.
I'm going with a little Cuban wisdom there.
Of the whole country.
Secular Cuba.
Secular Cuba. The tallest blade of grass is the first to be cut by the scythe. Russia. Russian proverb. They say
they don't grow grass in Russia either.
So, I mean, your logic wasn't right.
Yeah.
Your answer ended up being correct.
Man. Pierogies.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon. Final answer. Everything rides on this one. He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is. He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is, secular or Solomon.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to say Zimbabwe.
Pretty racist, Mike.
I'm going to go secular and Vietnamese.
That sounds right. Dan Hudson.
It's obviously Kosovo and secular.
Here's what I really fear. I fear
racist?
I fear the picture in the minds of you guys as you're thinking of this phrase and trying to come up with a nationality of like one guy with another guy in like a papoose on the back walking down the
That's
road.
That's exactly what I thought.
And you're papoose, thinking, yeah. What country is he in?
Well, I was in Kosovo.
Zimbabwe.
That's how we did that.
He who is being carried does not realize how far the town is. Secular Nigerian.
Yeah, I called that one.
Nigerian.
I think
you said Vietnamese.
I can't say it.
Yeah, you wish I said that, so I wouldn't be right, but I was.
Yeah, that's totally what we're sitting here talking about.
Now, anyway, America's you've been a part of America's fastest-growing internet game show, clocking in at the fastest that it could have been. Secular versus Solomon.
I think I won.
Yeah, congratulations, Dan.
We've got nothing for you.
I need a bell like at the OJs.
I wasn't really counting.
Hey, wait. I love the OJs.
Hold on. Where is it?
You're off.
Wait. Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you.
There's your bell.
Dear Life from the Path, I am a woman in an exclusive committed relationship with Vince. He's in parentheses. Heads up on Vince. Oh, no. We have talked about a future together and getting married. My only issue is I can't seem to keep him off dating sites. Tighten up on your job, homie. I ain't done yet.
All right.
Sorry.
Even when I catch old Vince red-handed, he'll deny it or blame it on his friend using his ID on his computer. I have asked him over and over to delete the sites, but he won't. He continues to tell me he's in love with me and wants only me. He says I'm the woman of his dreams. If that's true, there should be no need for him to look anymore, right? Please help me understand his obsession and if there are any tools I can use to be more effective to talk to Vince about this. I got a tool for you. Yeah. Pipe wrench.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit him in the head with a boot. Vince, you're a jerk.
Shovel and eviction notice. I think we'll handle this problem.
Why is this even a question?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that. I'm in love with this man. He says he's in love with me, but he won't get off the dating sites.
How dumb can this man be? Hey, it's not me. Another man is using the profile that I set up on a dating site. That's the problem, honey.
From my computer. You know what I'm saying? He's dumb. This is dumb.
Charlie comes over once a week. He hops on the dating sites and pretends he's me.
Yeah, here's the deal. I don't have a login to buy drug paraphernalia off the internet. If there's drugparaphernalia.com, I do not have a login because I don't purchase drug paraphernalia. So I never end up in the situation where my wife's like, hey, how come you're logged into drugparaphernalia.com? Well, I just set up an ID and Boova keeps coming over and using it at my computer.
He also left these tourniquets and gauze pads. Just understand.
I don't get that we live in a society where this is a question. Yeah, that... He needs to be booted out.
Vince needs to go goodbye, yeah.
She has been...
Vince is gone.
She has goodbye, been... Vince. She, her standards of what a man should be have been lowered to the point where Vince has passed through the screen.
Does she have a name?
No.
Okay, nameless woman who is with Vince, go get yourself in church, get a relationship with Jesus going, find yourself a good Christian man.
And get away from Vince, loves you forever but looks for ladies on the online dating. Yeah.
Even Jesus' advice is not needed here. Like, it's almost just logic. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is cheating on you or too ugly to cheat on you. One or the other.
She needs to find a real man.
Here we go. Secular's advice is, your communication tools are just fine. Your ability to recognize when someone is stringing you along is probably what needs improvement. You may feel you're in a committed relationship, but Vince appears to be less committed than you are. Worse, he also seems to have a problem telling the truth. If Vince wanted only you and was ready to settle down, he wouldn't be compulsively look online to see who else is available.
Yeah, hey, you're the girl of my dreams. I'm just looking for a day-to-day woman.
I need a reality woman. You're too in the clouds.
Vince is an idiot.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm conflicted about my role in supporting my children through the death of my ex-wife. We divorced 25 years ago. There is no significant other in her life. I would like to support them emotionally, but I feel the burial, funeral, etc. are matters for their family and her relatives. My question is, am I right? And how soon should I go and be with my children? We have been in close touch, and I believe they know that I care and I'm here for them. They live across the country, so the distance and cost of transportation are concerns.
What?
Are they asking for financial support or support? I think he's emotional.
I think he's preemptively asking. Like, they haven't asked him for anything, but he's wondering, like, where he fits in this deal. Like, I mean, are the in-laws still going to, like, hate this man and not really want him at the funeral, or... are they going to ask him for cash? Because, frankly, I mean, it's going to fall on his kids, right? Like, let's say my wife and I divorced. She died. That would be my children that would have to pay the expense. You know, so where do my children go when they need financial help? Hopefully their father, right? And so,
well, but they haven't asked him yet. There's got to be a reason they haven't asked him.
I don't know. They're grown. Maybe they feel like they shouldn't ask him.
Well, then maybe he's overreacting. If they're grown.
Maybe he should just send blank money. Like, I'd probably send $3,000 and say, I hope this helps in whatever area needed.
Well, if he wants to send $3,000.
Just to be generous.
No.
He could send that to me and I could use it.
No. Whatever. He should go out and support his kids. Their mom died.
He doesn't have to go to the funeral, but he can go hang out. Well, yeah. They just need their dad.
Yeah, what a cold fish, man.
Well, they're across the country. It's going to be expensive. I know their mom just died. I mean,
everyone comes out of the woodwork when your mom dies. I mean, because that's terrible, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not going to go over to your kids when your mom dies?
Yeah, that's true.
You got to help out. You got to do something.
Yeah.
Here is Secular's advice. I'm sure no one expects you to contribute financially to the funeral of someone from whom you have been divorced for a quarter of a century. However, you should ask your adult children if they would like you to attend for emotional support. Because they're all grown and presumably busy with their lives, if your presence isn't needed at the funeral, you could schedule a family reunion at a time when it's convenient for all of you. Yeah, that's a way to not really hit the hammer.
Hey, I'm not coming out, but I was thinking of a family reunion in May. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, boy, that's a way to say, hey, how do I install a sink? I can tell you how to put in a deck. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's basically how she answered that question.
It's just like a sink.
Yeah.
When it rains.
I can tell you how to do something completely not related to what you're asking.
I also have some logins for some online dating sites if you're interested.
Here's what he needs to do.
Drugparaphernalia.com.
He needs to go down there, and let's just say, I'm assuming they have children, and just say, hey, here's the deal. You need to grieve your mom. If let me watch the kids whenever that needs to happen, if they're going to the service or if they're not, whatever. We'll hang out at the motel together, and we'll do grandpa stuff.
I feel like if he was closer to the kids, this wouldn't even be a conversation. So that's probably even out, too, because like, if he doesn't deal with grandkids that well, he can't be babysitting.
I can't imagine he has any relationship problems while he maybe lost his wife 25 years earlier.
Yeah. I don't really know how to interact with people. Can you help me with that on the whole?
Yeah.
I have a problem like that. Yeah.
I was hoping a few paragraphs from the newspaper columnists would help me straighten up my anti-relationship items.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm awful at relationships. Can you help me?
Nope. Look at us.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Yeah, this dude just needs to reach out to help out if he can.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be financial. It
yeah, he just should have just sent a blank check. That covers all
no, grounds. He doesn't no, need man. To give money
like
to
like my old man said not... to me one birthday, cash is king. You know what I'm saying? Send some cash.
Yeah.
Nothing that's, says I love you like
if
cash.
They didn't reach out and ask him for cash, they don't want cash.
Yeah, they're scared of him. He should send money.
They're not scared of him. They just haven't had a relationship with him.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Let's say that, I don't know, some circumstance happens. You're living halfway across the country from your kids, and someone extremely close to them dies. Like their mom dies or their grandma dies or whatever. Don't you just go?
Yeah, I would go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then
what's your advice?
But this guy's socially awkward, man. He don't know how
you
to
You don't
behave.
Know that.
You're socially awkward.
Yeah, he is. I'm socially
he
awkward.
Didn't say, he didn't say, dear Life from the Path, I pick my undies and don't get along with folk. How do I handle my affairs?
Yeah, he should just send cash.
He needs to reach out to them and ask them if there's anything he can do to help. Not necessarily financially, just help them out.
You're listening to Life from the Path. We still got a little bit more show to go. Make sure you hang out. Man, we still got to talk about that guy that said stupid things to Booba.
Yeah, we'll hit it right off the break.
All right, we'll get it after the break. Thank you for listening to Life from the Path. Hey, if we don't see you, have a very Merry Christmas.
Send money. Fix everything.
Blank checks.
Blank check. Cash is king.
Cash is king.
Cash is king.
Life from the Path. Really love this song.
Yeah, all the time. I turn it on when I have to go.
That's weird for everybody.
Excuse
Mike.
Me.
That was.
I'm not bowelly motivated by it. That's what we're saying.
So, I took Booba with me to go do some. Some regular errands this week, and he was embarrassed by me.
I was not embarrassed by him. I was embarrassed for him. It was awful. Mike Foost is awful in any kind of social situation. So we're out getting bread is what we're doing, and the guy at the bread place is saying that he can slice the bread for him. And Mike basically, instead of saying, "Oh, no thanks. I really appreciate it," basically says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And just leaves it at that. And this man just okay, and walks and gets the bread. And Mike doesn't find anything wrong with that whatsoever.
I didn't even notice it was a problem.
Anyone else that I know, if they would have said that, I would have thought, you jerk. Like, hey, man, you could have just said, no, thanks. I really appreciate that. I didn't realize you guys could slice the bread for me, but I think we're going to do that on our own.
I said I would avoid that altogether.
I would avoid that altogether. Yes, that's exactly what I said. I would avoid that altogether to a person that's trying to help him out and just do what he does. Yeah, I'm avoid that.
I turned around and looked at Troy, and he goes, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Why? What did I do?" He goes, "Can't you just act like a normal human being? Would you talk to somebody serving bread?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to cut." He goes, "You could say no thank you."
I think I'm going to avoid that altogether. But then, the worst part of the whole situation. So after this awkward thing of saying, "I think I'm going to avoid that altogether," dude asks about a rewards program. the guy asks if he has the whatever the place was, rewards card.
Yeah.
And Mike goes, "Well, what's that about?"
So I'd like to come back.
So to appease his...
Will you cut my bread?
His lack of social niceties from beforehand of, "Hey, man, I think I'm going to avoid that crap altogether. I don't want you slicing my bread. You're an inconvenience to me. Hey, can you tell me more about a rewards program that no one else in the world asks about?" Dude.
I'm sure you're
probably
on the...
so awkward, just like, You don't want to say no thank you to slice the bread, but you want to ask me about rewards?
I'm sure, Mike, in a lineup, no one's going to pick you out as the guy on the Panera reward system.
That card, I still have it.
He suckered me in. I was like, so what's the deal? And he's like, there's secret rewards. I'm like, secret rewards? What's that mean? And he's like, well, you could be a free cookie, could be a free soda. I'm like, well, who wants to participate in that? You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole credit industry is trying to get away from weird, shady rewards programs where it's like, you can't use this there, you can't pick this flight or whatever. They just want the straight, no hassle. And Panera puts out a card that's like, it's a secret. We'll never tell you what it is. Well, I don't want it to be like rye bread. I don't like rye bread.
It's like the lottery. People play the lottery.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that with my rewards program at
then
Panera.
Why'd you get it?
He did give it to me. I did.
He took it. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, man. Thanks for avoiding it altogether. Really appreciate that. Okay. So recently, within the last couple weeks, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but someone approached me with a...
Wait, what was their name?
I'm not going to say their name.
Initials?
Oh, sorry. You laid that out at the front. I missed it. Sorry.
Whatever, man. Yeah. So someone actually...
Hey, I'm listening to this at home. Do you think he's going to name names?
Do you think he's going to name
names? Oh, no, dude. Is he going to name names? Because...
So someone who must not be named recently came up to me, and I think they were just kind of angry about life in general because they came up to me with just the most ridiculous statement of, how do you still have faith after God killed your parents? And that was the beginning of the conversation. And it's just kind of like, do you mind if I take a couple hours to just kind of like bounce back from that?
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of heavy to just sit on it, man. You know?
How's your day going, John? Like,
Merry Christmas.
What is going on? So, okay. So I was dumbfounded by the conversation at all. I did not expect to be asked this question, but hopefully I gave the guy a good answer, because this is something that people have asked me before, but it's not been that blatant and blunt of, hey, God killed your parents. It's been more along the lines of, well, you know, you're a really strong person, and how did you get through it, and things like that. So I've had to answer the question before, just not in this blunt of a way. But I think it can be taken, before I even give my answer, I think it can be taken across all modes of how do we bounce back after we honestly think that God's done anything. But so my answer was, I bounced back, and I still have faith because of the fact that I don't look at that as a sad thing anymore. The fact that my parents are no longer alive is not something that's sad. And God didn't kill my parents. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Obviously, I know that God is the creator of the universe and has everything to do with what's going on in life and everything like that. And it was part of his plan for my parents to go the way that they went, or whatever you want to say it like that. But I don't think God just kind of reached down and just murdered my parents just to, you know, whatever. But it's along the lines of, I have faith through that because of the fact that I look at that as a gain for my parents. Yeah. It's not something that's sad. It's sad for everyone here that knew my parents, and I still grieve. You know, even thinking about this, I still grieve crying about it today. And it's been years since both of my parents have passed away. But I look at it from a standpoint of it's gain for them, and it's knowledge for me, because that shook my faith so much when my parents passed away. It's what caused me to actually reach out and grab onto God. I was a typical teenager that I had faith because my parents had faith. And I look back on it now, and I realize that I didn't really even have faith. I had... a religion based off of what my parents had me involved in, you know, whatever it be, youth group or going to church every week or anything like that. But when that rock that I had, which was my father, was taken away from me, I had to honestly seek Christ and a relationship with Christ in my own adult terms. It had to be, I don't have that rock to stand on anymore. I don't have my dad to cling to when it comes to faith. I have to cling to my heavenly father, not my earthly father.
And you were, what, 19?
I was 18. It was about 3 months after I turned 18 that my dad passed away. Yeah. And then my mom passed away about a year and a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
So about 19 years old. So, and I made the mistake of running. I ran from God, and I ran away and didn't have a relationship. And the guys here know exactly what I did. But I didn't go to church. I didn't have the relationship with God. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't praying. It was awful. It was complete separation. And through that, and through counseling from people that I knew, and through God kind of just reaching down and grabbing me and keeping me safe, for that matter, I started to build a relationship on my own. and I started to get a faith. And it was that lack of a foundation that I had with my dad that caused me to build my own. So I could have ran away, and I could have entirely gone a whole different way and ran from God for the rest of my life and never went back. Or I could have clung to God from the get-go or anything like that. But it was just I had to seek out a faith of my own. And through the depression that I dealt with and through everything like that, that's what caused me to run to God, was because I was in such a dark way. And I knew that at one point in time, I felt like I had a relationship with God, but then it was completely taken away. And that wasn't God leaving me. That was me walking away from God. And once I finally started realizing that, I was able to start facilitating a relationship and building relationship with Christ. And the guy kind of looked at me funny. He was just like, "So your parents dying was a good thing?" And I was like, "I feel weird saying it now, but yeah." And he was like, "I don't even know how you can even say that." And I was like, I can feel where you're coming from. Have you ever dealt with something like this?" And the guy goes, "No." And I'm like, "Okay, well, all right. It seems like you're kind of angry about what I'm saying. Like, you seem kind of upset about the fact that I'm even bringing up that I'm morally excited and I'm joyous at the fact that my parents no longer have to deal with this earth." And he was just like, "Well, I'm kind of angry about that." I'm just like, "Okay." And we had more of a conversation, but it was just, it was the way that he presented it just completely threw me off.
I don't even know the guy, and I don't like him. Like, I'm offended by him right now.
Right.
He seems incredulous. Like, how could you not be mad? How could you be happy? Like, how can you win? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can be excited because my parents aren't having to deal with, say, guys that come up to them and say outrageous things.
Right. I never thought, and it's funny because so many people told me, you know, "You're going to get through this, and God's going to pull you through this. God's going to pull you out and show you the light that comes from this awful situation that you're going through." And I did not believe it at all.
Yeah.
I was just like, "Shut up. Don't talk to me."
You can't see it at the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I obviously had to go through it, but I'm excited that God put me through it. And I feel so weird saying that. And this is where people think I'm kind of goofy, but it's me. Whatever. We all know I'm goofy. God has prepared me to have these kind of conversations because of this. I'm able to go up to someone whose dad was just killed, or whose parents are gone, or whose grandmother or grandfather, whatever. Any kind of death, I can go up to him. Well, not any kind of death, but I can go up to him and talk to him and be like, "Hey, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I do. Believe me, I've been through something similar to this. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but God's got you. I promise." Mm-hmm. He's got control of the situation. Don't run away from him. Don't give up entirely. I know you want to so bad. I get that. Just don't do it. And I'm able to have those confident conversations now. And I have a faith with Jesus Christ because my rock at the time was taken away. I hadn't built my faith on Jesus Christ. I built it on Sean Engeldinger, my dad. And that was a mistake, and I had to pay for it, but I'm in a better way because of it, and I have an honest faith with God because of that. So October 22nd, 2009, when my dad passed away, is the best day of my life. And that's a weird thing to say now, 4 years later, but it is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Did Angry Man ever say, like, what if he had something going on in his life? Like, no. What makes someone say that?
I honestly think that something's going on in his life, that he just wants to retaliate against God and wants to get someone who has faith to go, "Yeah, God sucks."
Yeah.
I think that's what he's looking
for. That's right on. That's exactly what he's doing. That's a good call, Bubba.
He wants somebody to validate his anger with God. Yeah. And I'm going to be talking to him some more because I want to dig deeper into it, because I think he's just angry with God and he wants to be validated in that opinion. He wants to know that someone else had it too. And I did. Oh, totally. I ran for almost a year because I was incredibly angry and just upset with God and things like that. And I can come from a standpoint where I understand where he's at. But you got to get through it. we have a lot of times where people are just completely angry with God because of what happens, or we think that God's done something to us or around us. You know, when it comes to natural disasters or death or any trials that we go through, we get all Job on them and just be like, "Hey, man, you know, I was perfect. How dare you do this to me?" And I think some people just think that Christ followers in general will not relate to that at all, which I think is completely wrong. But I'm going to be following up with the guy, and hopefully we can have a follow-up conversation. I can let you guys know what's going on, because I want to figure out if something recently or 20 years ago happened to the guy that he's still angry about, and that he needs someone else to say they're angry at God for.
No doubt. If he turns out to just be a jerk, you let me know. I'll pray against him.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. I'll pray against the jerk, because that's totally what we're called to do.
All right.
Hey, David did it.
I need prayer as well, I guess. For my ways.
All right, you're listening live from the Path. We are here every Monday night from 10 to 11 Central Time at livefromthepath.org, or you can catch us on 99.3 KTIA on Saturdays at 7 o'clock. Big thanks to Bob Eisenhower and the Eisenhower team sponsoring the show. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Make sure you check those guys out. Give them a big thank you for supporting Live from the Path. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening.